Praise the Lord. What a beautiful night in the presence of the Lord, the worship atmosphere. Message tonight, helping together in prayer. Helping together in prayer. We're going to be in with Exodus 17, verses 8 to 11. Familiar portion of scripture, and maybe can add in some scriptures tonight that aren't quite as familiar. Exodus 17, 8 to 11. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Battle on the hill. Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. The meaning of Rephidim is shrinking the hands, to slacken or weaken the hands. The enemy wants to weaken the hands of God's people so they're not lifted with strength and with purpose, with might, with deliverance, with victory. Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. The enemy wants to get our hands down. Amalek means warlike. Warlike. There's a war going on in our Christian life, as we all know, as we move forward, as we follow on to know the Lord, day after day, season after season of life, there are new battles, new enemies, new forces. But Amalek is there, that warlike spirit to war against us. There is not a Christian, there's not a person who does not face this enemy, Amalek. Amalek, number one, represents the devil, the adversary, the opposer, Satan, the opposer, the adversary. Exodus 17, 8, now Amalek came and fought with Israel. The enemy came and fought with God's people in Rephidim. God's people were moving out. They wanted to inherit the land of promise. They wanted to gain a future in God. If we're going to move on with God, if we determine in our heart to go on with God and really persist and pursue an inheritance with God, we will face this enemy, Amalek. He's the opposer. He's the one who wants to stop us in our tracks. He wants to hold us back and hinder us. I mean, we're just a few weeks out of the salvation experience of these people. Exodus 12, the blood of the Lamb and the power of God set them free from the power of Egypt, representing a born-again life. Now they're on their way to the promised land. They're going to stop by Sinai on the way, get filled with the Holy Ghost. But there's Amalek opposing them, trying to hold them back. Amalek represents the devil, the one who is opposing us, our adversary. Secondly, Amalek represents the flesh. Amalek was a descendant of Esau. Esau, the man of the flesh. Jacob, the man of the spirit. Genesis 36, 12. Amalek was a descendant of Esau. And we also know this warfare, don't we? It's really close to home. Galatians 5, 17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, or wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. There's a battle inside. On our own, we're helpless against the flesh. We need the spirit. We need the power of God. But we all face that flesh life battle. The works of the flesh are, the Bible lists many of them, strife and pride and hypocrisy and immorality and many forces of the flesh that would try and take. We're fighting this battle. We're fighting this enemy, Amalek. That sin principle that still persists in our life until one day this body is glorified in the presence of the Lord. Amalek represents the flesh life. And third, Amalek represents the enemy that attacks weary stragglers. Is there anyone here tonight that's weary? Do you know someone that's weary and you're carrying them on your heart tonight? Deuteronomy 25, 17 to 19, remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt, how he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks, all the stragglers at your rear when you were tired and weary. And he did not fear God. Therefore it shall be when the Lord your God has given you rest from your enemies all around in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance, that you will blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget. Amalek, the enemy that attacks weary stragglers. My, how it grieves our heart, doesn't it, when we see brothers and sisters that are discouraged, that begin to fall behind, that become stragglers and strugglers, discouraged, upset about things, overcome by life, by circumstances, by the things of this world, aren't pressing in like they should. It grieves our heart to see brothers and sisters like that. That enemy comes to war against the people of God. That enemy that wants to attack the stragglers, those that fall behind, those that are on the outskirts of the camp. And so our heart is toward them. Now Moses stood on the hill. Amalek's fighting the people of God down in the valley, and Moses is up on the hill with the rod of God in his hand. The rod of God represents the word of God, the authority of God, the promises of God, the vision of God, the inheritance of God for his people. Moses stood on the hill with the rod of God in his hand, and his hands were lifted, the Bible says, in prayer and supplication, in worship, in thanksgiving. He was pleading the promises of God. And as long as his hands were up, Israel prevailed. It's an incredible scene. A man on a hill with his hands lifted with the rod of God, the word of God in his hands. And as he's standing there, Israel is gaining victory after victory, pressing against the enemy that has come against them. We need to discern how crucial it is that we discern the weapons of our warfare. For they are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds and breaking situations and breaking impasse, breaking the battle that's against us. One of the greatest weapons we have against the devil, the flesh, and the sluggish spirit is the lifting up of our hands before the Lord. Lift up your hands and praise the Lord. Moses on the hill, a man standing there with his hands lifted up, and because of it, there's victory down on the field. The natural mind does not comprehend this, but the spiritual mind does. The Bible says that the things of the Spirit of God are foolishness to the natural man. He cannot receive them. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. We must ask the Lord for spiritual discernment so we can see into the spiritual realm and see our weapons and see the conquest and the battle that we have. Moses' hands were up and Israel prevailed. 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, in all the churches and everywhere in their homes. I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Where did you get that, Apostle Paul? He said, I read Exodus 17. Lamentations 2:19, arise, cry out in the night. At the beginning of the watches, pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift your hands toward him for the life of your young children. The counsel of the Lord in the night watches. While we're in the night watches here tonight, lift up your hands for the life of your young children. Psalm 134, 1 to 2. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Hebrews 12, 12 to 13, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. That which is dislocated, that which is straggling, that which is struggling, let it rather be healed. Lift up your hands, the Bible says. Strengthen the hands which hang down. Back to Exodus 17, verse 12. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Moses' hands became heavy. This spiritual battle can be tiring at times, can't it? Sometimes our hands get heavy. There's not a person here that doesn't need help, including Moses. Maybe especially Moses. Moses' hands grew tired. It's not a person that doesn't need help. But there were two brothers who saw someone in need and they went to him. They went to him. They sat him down on a stone. That stone represents Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. That stone represents the Word of God, the sure promises of God. Aaron and Hur went to him and they encouraged him and they assured him in Christ, we could say. They blessed him, said, sit on the rock. They assured him with the promises of God. They encouraged him with the sure mercies of the Lord, how the Lord was with him and how the battle was to be victorious for the Lord. They came alongside him and then they lifted up his hands. It represents that they were praying for him. They were praying for him. Lord, you see our brother. You see our brother, Lord. The battle is strong. The enemy is fierce. There's much at stake for the people of God. We pray over this brother. They began to pray over him and strengthen him and encourage him in the Lord. Lord, you see his calling. Lord, you see what you have in store for your people. We lift him up. We lift him up. And they lifted up Moses' hands. And because they strengthened him in that posture of prayer and vigilance before the Lord, Israel prevailed and they won the battle. And Amalek was broken that day. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Lord, give us discernment into the spiritual realms. Not all people see, but Moses and Aaron heard. Aaron and Hur saw. They saw into the spiritual realm. They saw behind what the physical eyes see. They saw a battle that was at stake and a person that needed the encouragement of the people of God. We all need encouragement of the people of God, don't we? We need brothers and sisters to come alongside us and lift us up and establish us on Jesus Christ and assure us in our relationship with God and assure us of the promises of God. In times when we're weary, in times when the enemy is strong against us. 2 Corinthians 1:11. You also helping together in prayer for us. Those are Paul's words. He said, you also helping in prayer for us. You mean when I'm praying and lifting up my hands and calling on God and pleading his promises, and when I'm praying over the people of God and praying for the people of God, that I am helping them? The Bible says, yes, you are helping the people of God, helping together in prayer. How vital this is, just like Moses on the hill. Ephesians 6, 18 to 19, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Well, I kind of pray for myself and for my family, us four no more, Acts 2:4. Bible says, praying with all prayer and supplication for all the saints. And Paul said, and for me, that utterance may be given to me for the ministers of the Lord, that utterance would be given to them, the Sunday school teachers and the youth department and the women's ministry and the men's ministry and the teaching and preaching ministries of the house of God, that we would be praying that utterance would be given to them, that they would have the word of the Lord, that the inspiration of the Almighty would be upon them and the word of God would be in their heart, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Philippians 1, 3 to 4. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Paul's words to the church at Philippi, so many believers there. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. Now, I think he prayed generally over the people of God, but he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, the individuals of that congregation, of that church that had been miraculously birthed into new creation life and baptized in water, and the testimonies were heard and the people rejoiced. Young disciples and servants of the Lord, Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, praying for the believers as names came across his mind. Praying every day, praying for the people of God, praying for brothers and sisters, knowing those that are going through sorrow or trial, those that are maybe discouraged, those who have fallen back, praying for them. How about dozens a day? Dozens a day, as the Holy Spirit, a person comes across your mind. It may be a friend, it may be a foe. It may be a politician. Start lifting prayers, just shooting up prayers. Lord, bless that person today. Strengthen them today with the Holy Spirit. Helping in prayers. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Well, some translations say pray constantly. But how do we pray without ceasing? Well, you can say, well, my spirit is always in communication with God. But I wouldn't call that praying. How do you pray without ceasing? The imagery behind this verse is of somebody that has like an incessant cough, a persistent cough. And they cough, and then 2 or 3 minutes or 5 minutes goes by, and they cough again, and another few minutes goes by, and they cough again. And that's what the Bible encourages us to do. Pray without ceasing. You're going along about your activities, and all of a sudden, a person's name comes across your mind, and you lift them up. You know that they're dealing with a doctor's report. You know that they're struggling with their health in some area and fighting the battle of faith, and you shoot up a prayer and claim the promise of God. You think of some teenager that's growing up and needing direction in life, and you know the forces of the flesh and the peer pressure in this world, and you just call out on the Lord, and you speak a word over them in your prayer, and you lift them up before God. Helping together in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Well, maybe after tonight, you're going to say, all these people, all these names that wander through my mind all day, and I just kind of push them aside or not even try and think of them, I'm going to latch onto them for a few seconds, and I'm going to lift them up and pray for them and ask God to strengthen their life today. Hallelujah. Let's have the worship ministry come, and let's turn to 1 Samuel 23, 14 to 17. And David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day. Can you imagine the battle against David? His mind, his spirit, the warring going inside of him and against him. Fearful of his life, doubts. How's God going to take care of me today? I need protection today. Emotionally distraught, Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a forest. Then Jonathan, his covenant brother, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. Strengthened his hand in God. There's something when we strengthen one another in God. Now, they didn't have time to talk about the weather or the latest chariot races going on in the country somewhere. They had a few moments. Jonathan said he saw a brother in need. He discerned, he knew a brother in need. And he said, I'm going to risk my life and I'm going to go to that brother. I'm going to go out of my way to give him a word and strengthen and encourage. And he says he strengthened his hand in God. He told David of the promises of God. He said, God, God's will for your life, David. You heard the prophecies. You've been anointed by Samuel. You took out the Philistine giant Goliath. The Lord has plans for you, David. The Lord wants to use you. The Lord has called you to be a king. The Lord wants to use you to triumph and to lead his people. And Jonathan is there, and David's just drinking that in like living waters to a thirsty soul. What an encouragement. What a blessing. He said to him, David, do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that. If we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, people of prayer, devotion, we will know how to speak a word in season to those who are weary. Lift them up. Look beyond their circumstance. As we heard this morning, not judging. But what about that person? And this and that. And I heard this, and I heard that. No, if you're sensitive in the spirit, look beyond all that. Because our discernments are so faulty and weak so many times. You see, I see a brother, I see a sister that needs some strengthening in God. The outward appearance is this or that. Maybe it's because they're fighting in their spirit. Maybe they're discouraged and nobody can see it. Let's ask the Lord to make us sensitive. That we know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Isaiah 50 and 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. He wakens me morning by morning. Lord, today, an ear to hear. An ear to hear. Someone today needs a prayer. Someone today needs their hand lifted. Someone today needs to be strengthened in God. Somebody needs to be encouraged. Well, thank you, Moses, Aaron, and Hur. You taught us the ways of the Lord tonight. Let's stand together. If anyone needs prayer tonight, if you're struggling, discouraged, feel overwhelmed by circumstance, you know the battle is strong, why don't you slip out from where you are? Come to the altar. Brothers and sisters will gather around you and pray for you and lift you up. Speak a promise of God over your life. Assure you in Jesus Christ and strengthen you today for your walk in the Lord. Amen. Let's worship together tonight.